What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Fantasy End Zone. I'm your host, Jake. Today's show, we'll be recapping all of Week 5 games, injuries, and we'll finish it off with waiver ads. Without further ado, let's get right into the injuries. Josh Allen suffered a high ankle sprain, as well as it looked like he got concussion. I don't know how he managed to get back into the game. He took a hit late in the fourth quarter and hit the ground, came back in the game when they had an opportunity of possibly going down the field and kicking a field goal. Unfortunately, he lost, but he did suffer what looked like a concussion. Nico Collins, in the second quarter, he pulled a hamstring or came up limping with a hamstring injury. He did not return to the game. Next is Zach Moss, injured his ankle. David Njoku injured his knee, just coming back from his high ankle sprain. He is supposed to get MRIs, and we'll let you know what comes of that. Xavier Leggett hurt his shoulder. Ramondre Stevenson, late in the game, hurt his leg. He says he's going to be fine. We'll see how that comes across. Devon Achane, he suffered a concussion early in the game. Sunday, and luckily I do believe they have a bye week next week, so typically with concussions you're missing at least a minimum of 1 week. Aaron Jones got a hip injury, did not return in this game. Aaron Rodgers, low ankle sprain in the game on Sunday in London. He should be fine from how he says he's feeling. Also, if you're in kicker leagues, Jake Moody hurt his ankle. He's going to be missing games. That is reported by the head coach for the 49ers. So it looks like they'll be looking for a kicker this week and signing the best one that they believe. Looking at these games on Sunday, looking at the game first on Thursday, because I did not cover that on Friday, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers take on Atlanta Falcons. In this game, Atlanta Falcons took this game 36-30. It would have to go in overtime, though. Baker Mayfield did look really good in this game. He threw 19 for 24, 180, three touchdowns. Rashad White, he kind of got bobbled up for the most part. He had 10 rushes, 72 yards, but 56 of those came on one rush. Bucky Irving still getting his snaps and shares of the backfield, 9 rushes, 44 yards. Baker also did add 42 yards as well on the ground. Receiving wise, Chris Godwin, 5 catches, 63 yards. Mike Evans, 5 catches, 62 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He finally comes back after 2 bad performances. Kate Otten, 3 catches, 44 yards. Bucky Irving also added 2 catches, 12 yards. Kirk Cousins, though, you know, everyone says he can't win a primetime game, and he wins another one. He goes down and he scores right at the end to give him a game-timing field goal, and then he goes down in overtime, gets a game-winning touchdown pass. He had 58 attempts, 509 yards passing, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception. I believe he should be the QB1 on the week with, you know, ridiculous numbers of 509 yards. Bijan Robinson, his struggles continue, 12 rushes, 61 yards. Drake London, maybe this is a breakout game, 12 catches, 154 yards, 1 touchdown. Darnell Mooney, he's another player to be looking to add in waivers. 9 catches, 105 yards, 2 touchdowns. Cousins is feeling really good with the connection that Mooney and him are having as well. So I would suggest also getting him in waivers if he's still on. Kyle Pitts, don't know what happened, but maybe they flipped a switch and said, we got to get this guy the ball because he's a really good, talented tight end. 7 catches, 88 yards. And Bijan Robinson, 3 catches, 16 yards. Next game we'll be looking at is the Carolina Panthers versus the Chicago Bears. Chicago wins this 36-10. Does not look like it's a battle of number one overall pick anymore, just because Andy Dalton started the game. He looked just like what Bryce Young has been early in the season. Not that great. 18 for 28, 136, and one interception. Granted, the Bears' defense is pretty good and strong. I just think this whole Carolina team is in shambles. Chuba Hubbard, 97 yards, one touchdown, but he did fumble as well. Jalen Coker, an undrafted free agent, 4 catches, 68 yards. Jonathan Mingo also had 2 catches, 37 yards. Deontay Johnson comes back down to earth from his couple performances with Andy Dalton starting. He had 3 catches, 23 yards. Caleb Williams keeps on rolling, baby. 20 for 29, 304 yards, 2 touchdowns. He also added 34 yards rushing as well. And I've said it before that Caleb Williams is going to figure out the NFL. It is only a matter of time. In the last two out of the last 3 weeks, I believe he passed for 300 yards. And I don't even know if Justin Fields had that many in his career with the Bears. I only could come up with one game that I believe he had over 300 yards. Anyways, Caleb Williams, congratulations on another win. And besides, I'm biased, I am a Packer fan. Caleb Williams is scary with this Bears team. DeAndre Swift, my sneaky start of the week, 73 yards and a touchdown. He also added 2 catches, 47 yards. DJ Moore is building that connection, like I said he is going to, with Caleb Williams. 5 catches, 105 yards, 2 touchdowns. Big, big day for him. If you started both of them, congratulations. Cole Kmet also had 3 catches, 57 yards. Now, Roman Dunze had 5 catches, 40 yards. And Keenan Allen, one of my sits this week, 3 catches, 33 yards. Make sure you guys tune in on Fridays. I give my start sits as well. Right there's a couple players, you know, Swift had a good performance, and Keenan Allen was not so good. Going on to the next game, though, we'll go to the game that was early in the morning in London. New York Jets 17, Minnesota Vikings 23, as they stay unbeaten and are a real contending team. Unfortunately for the 40-year-old quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, 244, 2 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, though. And what the heck is going on with Breece Hall? 9 rushes, 23 yards. That is not what we like to see, especially since he was probably a top 8 draft pick in redraft leagues. And he only added 3 catches, 14 yards. They're not getting him the ball. They got to run the damn ball. Like I said for the Bears before, run the damn ball, help your quarterback out, get success on the passing game, and you'll win. Garrett Wilson did have 13 catches, 101 yards, 1 touchdown. He finally did something besides his 5 and 50, usually per game. Tyler Conklin, 6 catches, 55 yards. Alan Lazard, 4 catches, 34 yards, and he added another touchdown. Sam Darnold, apparently for this year, he only could play in the United States and have good games, because over in London, he did not have a great game at all. He had 179 yards, 1 interception, 11 rushing yards, and 1 fumble loss. Not what you like to see for a quarterback, but they pulled out the win regardless. Ty Chandler actually led the team, 14 rushes, 30 yards, just because Aaron Jones got hurt early on with a hip injury that led to Chandler getting the bulk load. Justin Jefferson, 6 catches, 92 yards. It would have been nice if he could have had a couple more yards just to get that 100 points. I know some people like myself and a lot of my leagues, you get 100 point bonuses. He had a great day as well, regardless of the situation. And Jordan Addison had 3 catches, 36 yards. The Vikings are a real deal. You know, look at the teams that they beat. It's just continuing. And their defense is holding teams to, you know, underperform in my eyes. And they picked off Rodgers this week 3 times. It's just successful. I mean, this is a team to watch in the playoffs or making it to the playoffs. Next game we'll cover is the Baltimore Ravens 41 and Cincinnati Bengals 38. This game went in overtime where Lamar Jackson fumbled the ball, lost it, and Cincinnati recovered it. Unfortunately, Cincinnati, I don't know why they wouldn't try and move the ball a little bit more, since especially since they're having success through the air with Joe Burrow's passing attack this week. Move it closer to a better field goal range instead of like a 47-yarder, which is a bad snap. The hold slipped on the ground, and it was a missed kick by McPherson, leading to one play later, Derrick Henry for 51 yards, and set up a game-winning field goal. In this game, though, Lamar Jackson, 348 and 4 touchdowns passing. Derrick Henry had 92 yards and a touchdown. He's always given a touchdown every game, I feel like. And like I said at the beginning of the season, if I was a betting man, I would put that he was going over 13.5 touchdowns this year. Lamar also added 55 yards on the ground. Zay Flowers finally breaks out this game. 7 catches, 111 yards. What the hell is going on with Mark Andrews still? He got 4 catches, 55 yards. His third string, Kohler, got 3 catches, 64 yards, and a touchdown. And I do believe, yeah, Isaiah Likely, 3 catches, 13 yards, but 2 touchdowns. Why the hell are we not passing to Mark Andrews is unknown. What is going on? I think it's like a red flag right now. I'm just scared that Andrews's injuries have caught up with him, and it's time for him to, you know, take the back door to maybe Isaiah Likely. I'm still having hope for him, especially since I have him in a couple of fantasy leagues. I thought he was going to come back, be strong. I thought the run of Derrick Henry would open up the play action. It did. Unfortunately, it just wasn't to Mark Andrews. On the other side of this game, Joe Burrow, 30 for 39, 392 yards, 5 touchdowns, and 1 interception at the end of the game in the fourth quarter, costly. I told you guys to bench your running backs for Cincinnati, either one of them. Chase Brown, 46 yards rushing, and Zach Moss, 24. Ja'Marr Chase lighting up the scoreboard with his 10 catches, 193 yards, and 2 touchdowns on 12 targets, whereas T. Higgins got 14 targets, 9 catches, 83 yards, and 2 touchdowns as well. Next game is a game we just don't want to watch right now, with Miami looking like dog doo-doo, and I want to see Drake May finally come in the game, but they're still waiting and hoping for some reason to give them, you know, a break. I believe probably after their bye week, Drake May will come in and assess himself as the clear-cut leader in this team. But Miami did take this game 15-10. Looking at this game, Tyler Huntley did pull the draw of the start. 194, 1 interception. Jalen Wright led the team with 86 yards rushing. Raheem Mostert comes back from his 3-game absence of a chest injury for 80 yards. With him coming back, there always has to be one running back hurt. Devon Achane's turn is now. He just got a concussion. So, again, with this running back platoon, somebody's getting hurt. Somebody's got to step up and stay. Tyreek Hill, 6 catches, 69 yards. Jonnu Smith, though, 5 catches, 62 yards. He looked like he was being targeted pretty good for the Dolphins in this one. Jalen Waddle had 4 catches, 46 yards. Jacoby Brissett, still just not a great starter in my eyes. 160 yards passing, and that's it. Ramondre Stevenson actually was benched earlier this week, but he came out ahead with more touches than Antonio Gibson, and he found the end zone. 89 yards and a touchdown, whereas Gibson had 6 rushes, 52 yards. Gibson was more effective on the ground with 8.7 yards per carry compared to Stevenson's 7.4. But the big note in that game is Stevenson did not fumble. In the first 4 games, he's fumbled at least one time a game. But this game, he did not fumble. DeMario Douglas, 6 catches, 59 yards. Hunter Henry, 2 catches, 32 yards. I mean, that's pretty much it for their pass catching, especially since they only had 160 yards. And their pass catching and wide receivers, tight ends, everything is just a coin flip each week of who's going to lead the team. Next game we're going to cover is the Cleveland Browns and the first place NFC East Washington Commanders. Commanders win this one 34-13. We'll start with the Browns and what the hell they're allowing Deshaun Watson to continue to play. 15 for 28, 125 yards passing, 1 touchdown. This is just god awful. Yes, you paid him $230 million, full guaranteed, the stupidest thing you could have done, especially for not playing for a couple years before this situation and all this extra stuff that came with him. It's time for Jameson. If you're looking at any other team and they're struggling that damn bad, like Watson is, you'd be benched the next week. It's just that plain and simple. But the reason why he's not getting benched is because they spent all that draft capital, all this money, and they're going to suck. Like, there's no other things around it. I believe they're 1-4 on the season. Yep, 1-4. Looks like they might be playing for a high draft pick and potentially go for one of the top quarterbacks of next year's draft. Probably a good option. Jerome Ford rushed it 9 times, 47 yards. Deontay Foreman, 9 rushes, 44 yards. Amari Cooper, he's been getting 10 targets, but how many of those targets are catchable? 50% of them, because Watson sucks and he can't throw. He caught 4 for 60. Jordan Atkinson, or Atkins, 3 catches, 22 yards, and a touchdown. That's because David Njoku injured his knee and is headed for MRIs. Jaden Daniels on the other side, passing. He is, you know, average. I'd say it's a above average performance. 238 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. But the big thing is, like I've been saying, ability to run the ball as a quarterback is huge in this league. 11 rushes, 82 yards. That adds, you know, just 8.2 points every week like that. And it's really good for your Jaden Daniels. Austin Eckler had 6 rushes, 67 yards. Brian Robinson coming back from an injury. He had 7 rushes, 18 yards, but 2 touchdowns. And Jeremy McNichols, 44 yards and a touchdown. With them being up by so much, I think that's why McNichols came in and produced how he did and scored. Terry McLaurin had 4 catches, 112 yards, a 66-yard touch or close to a touchdown. I think he fell down at the 1 yard line, 2 yard line. But it looks like, again, Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin are connecting, and it's so good to see those two really shine together. A couple other players, Diami Brown, 2 catches, 57 yards, 1 touchdown. Austin Eckler, 2 catches, 30 yards. And a guy that I said bench, Zach Ertz, 2 catches, 10 yards this week. Next is the Indianapolis Colts, losing this one to the Jacksonville Jaguars, 34-37. You know, the Colts try to make a comeback, especially in the fourth quarter, scoring 24 points and coming up short to a last-second field goal for the win for Jacksonville. Joe Flacco, if you had him playing, congratulations, especially because of stream. If you had golf or, you know, Hurts on your bench because they had a bye week and you went with Joe Flacco, congratulations. You probably won this week. 359 yards passing, 3 touchdowns. Huge week for him. Trey Sermon, a sneaky start for me. 38 yards rushing, 1 touchdown. He did add 6 catches for 25 yards as well. In this game, also for catching, Alec Pierce, 3 catches, 134 yards, 1 touchdown. Josh Downs is getting a whole bunch of targets, 12 targets, 9 catches, 69 yards. A.D. Mitchell, 4 catches, 38 yards. One of my starts of the week was Michael Pittman Jr., especially with Joe Flacco starting. 5 catches, 37 yards, and 1 touchdown. They scored that touchdown early in the game. I think it was a 2-yard touchdown catch. I thought he was going to produce a lot more. Unfortunately, he didn't. Trevor Lawrence, where has this been? I know this was a dog shootout. 371 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. He is very good for most of the day. I liked what I seen coming from him, especially hooking up with Brian Thomas for 85-yard touchdown. Huge, and I love seeing it. Tank Bigsby leads the team. Actually, I believe he was running back number one on this week. 101 yards, 2 touchdowns, because Travis Etienne cannot stay healthy. He's been going in and out. He's battling a whole bunch of injuries. 17 yards rushing. Like I was saying, Brian Thomas, 5 catches, 122 yards, 1 touchdown, one of them being an 85-yard touchdown pass. It was a huge week for him. Him and Trevor Lawrence are starting to get acclimated to one another, and it's amazing to see. Christian Kirk, 4 catches, 88 yards. Travis Etienne, he did provide himself fantasy relevance in the passing game, 6 catches, 43 yards. Next is the Buffalo Bills versus Houston Texans. Buffalo Bills just don't know how to clock manage and lose the game this time. 20-23. It was just terrible coaching, and they could not, I don't know what they were doing. Late in the game, if you didn't see it, it was, I believe, within the 5-yard line with a minute left, I do believe. 3 straight passes. I don't know why they didn't run it or any of this stuff. And Houston had all 3 timeouts, or had timeouts left, I do believe. And simply after the punt, they, you know, drove down, got in field goal range, and kicked a 59-yarder for the win. Like, it's just terrible play calls and coaching for sure. Also in this game, Josh Allen. What the hell, dude? 9 for 30. 131 yards and a touchdown. Like, you threw like 30% this week. What the hell? It's just a struggle. He's been a hit or miss, and me seeing this performance, he is not MVP at all. He's not even in the top 5 in my eyes, throwing this performance in there for MVP at all. He's got 2 huge weeks for us in fantasy. which he was quarterback one both of those weeks, I think week one and week three. Besides that, week two, I think, and four, he's quarterback 28. This past week, I believe he was quarterback 14 because he had 54 yards rushing. It's just terrible, especially if we're drafting these players high or having dynasty relevance. This is killing me, seeing that. James Cook, 20 rushes, 82 yards, and a touchdown. Keon Coleman had one catch, 49 yards, and one touchdown. Khalil Shakir was out of this contest, leaving Keon Coleman as one of the top guys, and because Josh Allen couldn't complete a damn pass, that's where all your pass catchers struggled in this game. On the flip side, CJ Stroud doing CJ Stroud things, 331, one touchdown, one interception, had 27 yards on the ground, but did have a fumble loss. Cam Akers again gets a start this week. And because Joe Mixon and Damian Pierce are still unhealthy, he had 42 and one touchdown. Dar Amowale, he had 30 rushing yards, but he did catch six catches for 57 yards. Stephon Diggs going against his former teammates, six catches, 82 yards. Nico Collins, two catches, 78 yards, and a touchdown. He did leave the game due to a hamstring in the second quarter. Otherwise, it could have been a very, very big day, especially having only two catches for 78 yards and a touchdown. He could have had a huge day. Tank Dell was one of my sits of the week, four catches, 38 yards. Dalton Schultz, also one of my sits of the week, four catches, 34 yards. Next game is the depleted Raiders versus Denver Broncos. Broncos are second in the AFC West with a 3-2 record. They won this game 34 to 18. During this game, Gardner Minshew did get benched. He was 12 for 17, 137 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions. Aiden O'Connell came in and threw for 94 and a touch or interception. Rushing the ball with no Zamir White, which was one of my sits of the week. Unfortunately, I would just pass it on to Alexander Mattison, and he had 15 rushes, 38 yards. Amir Abdullah actually led this team with five rushes, 42 yards, and a touchdown. Brock Bowers filling in the gaps for missing Devontae Adams because of a injury. And if you didn't see that, it was being sarcastic. But he's getting traded at some point within the next couple weeks. But Brock Bowers had eight catches, 97 yards, and a touchdown. Jacoby Myers did his best impression to fill in as well. Six catches, 72 yards. A guy I really like this week is Trey Tucker. He only had two catches, 18 yards, unfortunately. Bo Nix, baby. 206 yards passing, two touchdowns. He also added 9 yards rushing and a touchdown. He had three total touchdowns and no turnovers. That is huge for him because he is struggling with throwing interceptions and turning the ball over. Javonte Williams, 61 yards rushing. Jameel Gloughlin had 22 yards rushing. Also with Javonte Williams, he had five catches, 50 yards. Lil Jordan Humphrey is the better receiver this week. Two catches, 48 yards. Courtland Sutton, two catches, 32 yards. This game, it's from paper standpoint, look like it's going to be a dud game, but Broncos actually lit up the scoreboard this week, and Pat Surtain as well had a 100-yard interception. Next game is Arizona Cardinals winning this one 24 to 23 against the San Francisco 49ers. What is going on with the Niners? They cannot close a game out. Kyler Murray was 195, one interception, one touchdown. Also added 83 yards and a rushing touchdown. Huge game for a rushing aspect for him. James Conner, one of my sits of the week, 86 yards rushing, two catches, and 14 yards. It is an okay day for him. Michael Wilson, five catches, 78 yards. Trey McBride returns from a absence of a game with a concussion, six catches, 53 yards, and Marvin Harrison Jr., two catches, 36 yards on seven targets. Brock Purdy, I thought he was going to do a lot better. He was one of my starts a week. Unfortunately, came up real short. He had 244 yards passing, one touchdown, two interceptions. He also had 33 yards rushing. Jordan Mason, another one of my top guys I was going to start this week, 89 yards rushing, one catch, 9 yards, and a fumble loss. Brandon Ayuk, with everyone healthy, he gets 12 targets, 8 catches, 147 yards. They finally must have seen in the games that he was wide open down the field, and I'm so glad they finally took advantage of this, and he had success on them. George Kittle coming back, 8 catches, 64 yards, and one touchdown. Juwan Jennings, one catch, 13 yards, and one of the deadliest performances is Deebo Samuel, one catch, 11 yards. Next game we'll talk about is the New York Giants winning against Seattle Seahawks, 29-20. Seahawks dropped the last two, I do believe. But Daniel Jones, damn, Daniel, back at it again. 257 yards, two touchdowns, 38 yards rushing. Huge day for them, and they got the win. With Devin Singletary out, no problem. We had Tyrone Tracy Jr., 129 yards rushing and one catch for 1 yard. He should have ran it right at the goal line. I don't know why the hell they gave it to Eric Gray. Eric Gray was going in for a 1 yard rush and fumbled on the goal line, which resulted into a 100-yard touchdown return for Seattle in this game. Also, no Malik Nabers, no damn problem. Darius Slayton will take over for him. Eight catches, 122 yards, and a touchdown. Wan'Dale Robinson, I thought was going to be the big benefit of Nabers gone. Nine targets. He only caught six of them for 36 yards, though, and a touchdown, though. He was my sneaky start of the week. My other sneaky start of the week was Geno Smith, especially coming off that 395-yard performance. He then comes back with a 284 yards, one touchdown, but he did have 72 yards rushing, which led the team. Ken Walker, 19 yards rushing and receiving. Tyler Lockett, four catches, 75 yards. Kenneth Walker had seven catches, 57 yards. DK Metcalf, four catches, 55 yards, but lost a fumble. And Jackson Smith and Ajigba, four catches, 31 yards, and a touchdown. It's just surprising seeing the Giants win again on the scoreboard. It's just great seeing because I love seeing the underdogs win, and it is awesome seeing Daniel Jones come back and win. Next is the Green Bay Packers 24, LA Rams 19. Rams are 1-4 on the year. Jordan Love comes into this game as my start of the week for quarterback. Unfortunately, he did not perform as well as I thought he would. 224 yards, two touchdowns, one interception. He added 10 yards on the ground as well. Josh Jacobs in this game, 73 yards and a touchdown. I believe that's his first touchdown as a Packer, which is huge. But one of my starts of the week, Tight end Tucker Kraft, 4 catches, 88 yards, 2 touchdowns. And another start of the week was Jaden Reed for me, 4 catches, 78 yards. And I thought he would get a touch on either that way or end around. Unfortunately, he didn't. Josh Jacobs also had 1 catch, 21 yards. Dontavian Wick, after a huge game, comes back with a 2 catch, 20 yard performance. Matthew Stafford, 45 attempts, comes back to 260 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. Kyren Williams, my start of the week for running backs, 102 yards rushing, 1 touchdown. He also had 1 catch, 3 yards. Not as big of a day as I thought he would have, but still averaging 4.6 yards per carry was good. Jordan Willington would have been a great streamer this week. 7 catches, 89 yards. I do believe he led last week, I do believe, in receiving as well. Tutu Atwell had 6 catches, 58 yards. Colby Parkinson, 7 catches, 52 yards. And DeMarcus Robinson, 3 catches, 28 yards, and a touchdown. Sunday Night Football consisted of a late game, so I didn't really actually watch this one personally just because they had the rain delay. But looking at the teams, I didn't think it was going to be a high-scoring game, which it looked like it wasn't. 20-17, Pittsburgh loss against the Dallas Cowboys. In this game, Dak Prescott, 352 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Rico Dowdle had 87 yards rushing. Jalen Tolbert, not CeeDee Lamb. Tolbert had 7 catches, 87 yards, and a touchdown. Jake Ferguson, 6 catches, 70 yards, where CeeDee Lamb had 5 catches, 62 yards. On the other side, Justin Fields had a struggling day, 15 for 27, 131 yards, 2 touchdowns. Najee Harris had 42 yards rushing on the ground. I thought he was going to have a bigger day, especially against this Cowboys defense that were missing 2 studs up front. He also added 2 catches, 35 yards. Besides that, George Pickens had 3 catches, 26 yards, and Pat Freiermuth had 3 catches, 22 yards, and a touchdown. I think the question right now is, who do you start? Do you say, you know what, let's have Russell Wilson see what he can do in this game, or do you stick with Justin Fields? It's to be seen. The last game we got to talk about in this week is Monday night matchup. New Orleans Saints falling 13-26 against Kansas City Chiefs, who also remain unbeaten. Derek Carr struggled again, 165 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. Alvin Kamara struggled really bad in this one, which it was a negative matchup going against that good Kansas City's up front. He only had 26 rushing yards, but he did contribute with 6 catches, 40 yards in the passing game. Rashid Shaheed, 4 catches, 86 yards, and a touchdown. Juwan Johnson, 5 catches, 31 yards. Chris Olave puts up a dud this week, 2 catches, 10 yards. Patrick Mahomes, 331 yards and an interception with 25 rushing yards. Once again, he's been struggling from a fantasy aspect. He's a great quarterback. He's the Tom Brady of this generation, without a doubt, hands down. But fantasy-wise, he's just not getting it done with what you would hope when you drafted him is like the first or second, third quarterback off the board in roughly the top 4 rounds in redraft leagues. He's not had a top 12 finish since last year, week 12. That is not what we want, not what we drafted him for. We drafted for, you know, production and everything else, and as of right now, I think it just lowers and lowers and lowers with their current wide receivers this going on. Kareem Hunt, 27 rushes, 102 yards, one touchdown. Juju Smith-Schuster, apparently it's his rookie season or something like that again. Seven catches, 130 yards. Travis Kelce comes back with another big performance, missing Rashee Rice. Nine catches, 70 yards. Xavier Worthy, three catches, 25 yards. And that's really it for this game. They got to be looking for a pass catcher. My assumption is that they will land Amari Cooper, is my guess. Amari Cooper transformed his contract into a very team-friendly deal, and also he's a free agent after this season. I see them making a play for him for Kansas City. We'll see what happens, especially with, Devontae Adams. I just don't see Kansas City being able to afford him, so that's why I'm saying Amari Cooper is probably going to be the guy that's to go to Kansas City. Time for my waiver ads. At quarterback, we're going to have Caleb Williams, who is available in 41%. In the last 3 weeks, he looked amazing. He's getting success under his belt. Two of them, like I said, he threw for over 300 yards passing, having five touchdown passes in the last 3 weeks as well. He also is adding value on the ground, averaging 23 yards per game. And also coming up, matchups are huge pluses for him. And I feel like he's getting use and getting rhythm with this Bears offense. So he is a number one ad for me this week. Kirk Cousins, available in 59% of leagues. He put up 509 yards passing, four touchdowns. He's making huge connections with Drake London and Darnell Mooney. He's finished top eight in two of them. Favorable matchups, especially at the end of the season, he does as well. He's a ad for me, and especially if he's a streamer. Trevor Lawrence, available in 52%, has put up back or put up double digits points of fantasy every week, threw for 371 yards. Most times, Jags are going to be in a negative game streak, allowing them for to pass the ball. So it's going to be a lot of passing. Just remember when Jameson Williams or Winston finished QB4 in 2019. Yes, he threw 30 interceptions, but he had 33 yards or 33 total passing and 5,100 yards passing as well. We love volume. So with them being down in negative game script, they're going to have to pass the ball to catch up. And just looking at Winston, they had a pass and he finished quarterback four on the year. My next ads for running backs are Tyrone Tracy. He's available in 66% of leagues. I feel like that number got bumped up this past week, especially with Devin Singletary being out. So his adding value right now, he got his first career start, face a decent Seahawks defense, and rush for 129 yards. I see him getting more opportunities, and he deserves it. One game of starting, almost 130 yards rushing. Singletary is not the future. Maybe Tyrone Tracy can be the future guy. And once again, Gray should have never ran that damn ball at the goal line and fumbled it. So it could have been easily a bigger day for Tracy. He could get his touchdown plus the extra yard, so he could have 130 and a touchdown. Also, when he played at Purdue in college, he was actually a receiver, so I feel like he's going to add that value of catching the ball out of the backfield in future games. Next is Tank Bigsby. He is 69% available, finish as RB1 for week 5. Travis Etienne has been in and out of the lineup, banged up, unhealthy during games, and during weeks he's not been performing. He outsnapped him this week, and he got the goal line carries as well. Ty Chandler, available in 64% of leagues. He's been effective when given opportunities. Aaron Jones got hurt on Sunday. His extent is unknown. We'll see what happens with his injury. If he misses time, Chandler is a must-add. He's going to get the whole workload running and catching out of the backfield. Next, for wide receivers, Jalen Tolbert has to be number one. He's proven back-to-back weeks that he could be a very good receiver number two role, especially when CeeDee Lamb's getting a whole bunch of pressures and coverages for him. It's allowing Tolbert to get open. Also, Brandon Cooks went to the IR, giving Tolbert a minimum of 3 more games to prove he deserves number two job going forward. 3 out of the 5 weeks so far this season, he's had 13 more fantasy points. This week he had 21 and a half. He's available in 83% of the leagues. He's a must-add for me. Josh Downs, back-to-back weeks of 16 points for fantasy and 9 targets. Joe Flacco is a better quarterback than Anthony Richardson, passing volume-wise. Richardson is their future, so if he's healthy, I expect him to be starting. But also, Richardson and Downs had connection back, dating back to last year, where they're practicing playing pitch and catch in the parking lot. He is available in 47% of sleeper leagues as well. Jordan Willington, 66% of leagues he's available. Put up back-to-back weeks of 12 or more fantasy points as well, drawing 8 or more targets as well in those 2 games. The only downfall, they're going to a bye week, and rumor has it Cooper Kupp is supposed to be coming back after the bye week, so that can trickle down his usage and volume. It's unknown to see or hear when Puka will be coming, so we'll also be looking back for that as well, especially after a bye week. My tight end adds, Tucker Kraft has to be number one. I usually do, you know, if you're available in 60%, I don't know how he's still available in 45% of leagues. He just finished back-to-back weeks as the tight end one. With Jordan Love back as a quarterback, Tucker Kraft has been dominant and should continue to be added and started in all leagues. Cade Otton, Hines becoming more involved in this offense and looks to be doing well. He's put up 3 straight weeks of 7 fantasy points or more. Week 3 and 4, he finished in the top 8 for tight ends. He's available in 56% of leagues. Taysom Hill, 71% of leagues he's available. He's been missing time, but I feel like if you're needing a streamer, especially with buys now coming into effect, I believe he could be a weak buy filler. Also, Jonnu Smith is another one. He's available in 93% of leagues. That's another episode of Fantasy End Zone. Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to like, follow, and subscribe. Also, please email questions at fantasyendzonepodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you guys on Friday. Peace.